Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. We're on from 1 to 4, and then after 4 o'clock, John Cobell Show on demand, the podcast, and you can listen to what you missed. We've had a lot going on this afternoon all at the same time. Now, one thing, you just heard Deborah's bulletin there in the news. They've caught the guy who they say whacked the 6-year-old girl in the head and knocked her to the ground Sunday night. She was taking a walk with her parents and a family friend, and crazy guy was sitting on a bus bench and suddenly turned around and smacked the girl. She was not seriously hurt. And it took till today, until the police put out a call for anybody who could track down this guy. And I guess they caught him. Now, we don't have a whole lot of details, although we might have what...
We'll have more in my 3:30 cast.
Okay, 3:30. We got a reporter.
Michael Monks,
who's new here at KFI. All right, he's on the case, and we'll see what he finds out by 3:30. Next is Todd Benzman. Now, last segment we set up an overview of what's going on in Haiti. The government has collapsed there. The gangs have united and basically overthrew the government. There are a lot of people who are going to want to get out of Haiti, and they're going to be headed here. And Ron DeSantis has already set out hundreds of National Guardsmen and law enforcement and boats and planes to keep them from Florida. But if you remember a couple of years ago, thousands of Haitians made it over the border from Mexico. Remember, they were hiding under that highway overpass at the border. Well, what's going to happen here? Todd Benzman from the Center for Immigration Studies is going to tell us. Todd, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So what's the situation in Haiti right now? Are people already fleeing, or is this the expectation that it's going to happen in a few days or a couple of weeks?
No, it's a fully failed state. Haiti is no more. It's in a state of total anarchy, like something out of one of those 70s movies, you know, like The Warriors, you know, where gangs just kind of roam the streets and the strong eat the weak and that sort of thing. All food distribution systems are collapsed and airports shut and ports closed, and it's a mess. And so people understandably are boarding sailing boats and starting to ship out toward the Florida Keys. And we've seen interdictions of some of these boats in the Bahamas filled with Haitians. and also Cuban waters. And so the fear, especially in Florida, you know, Governor DeSantis has deployed, you know, hundreds of law enforcement officers and boats and planes and National Guard, and Border Patrol is surging extra personnel down there too, because there's this fear that, you know, the boats are going to show up filled with hundreds and maybe thousands of Haitians at some point. We haven't seen that yet, but remember, they're sailing boats, so it takes a few days to, you know, get that far with a good wind, you know. Mm-hmm. So the big question is, you know, what's the Biden government going to do about it? Are they going to send the Coast Guard out there to interdict and repatriate them back to Haiti? Or are they going to use the Navy to pick them up and block them and, you know, push them back somehow? Or are they going to let them land in Florida? And I've heard that they're going to let them land in Florida. And I think today the administration made a statement to the effect that no, they're going to repatriate them. If they repatriate them back to Haiti somehow, then there shouldn't be a crisis. If they let them land in Florida, of course, everybody's going to hear about this back in Haiti, and they're going to all get on boats and head this way. So whatever the administration does in the next day or three is going to determine whether we have a big maritime crisis on our hands.
Well, DeSantis, how much of an army does he have to stop the influx? I mean, 250 people can only go so far.
I'm unclear what the state government thinks that it can do with this. You know, I mean, this is really fundamentally a federal issue. Foreign nationals showing up in our waters, in our territorial waters. You know, I mean, state governments don't really have authority to detain that kind of a person. Federals do. So I'm not really sure what he's thinking yet, but we'll see.
Why would the Biden administration treat the Haitian refugees any different from the other 3 million they've let across the border?
Well, it's the election season. So for 3 years, he wasn't so worried about getting reelected. And so we had this incredible mass migration crisis where we've had 10 million people hit our southern border. Probably most of them are now living in the United States. So I think that this is now a concern, a big concern for the Biden administration. The optics of that could lose him the election, because the polls are showing that the mass migration crisis is an apex political issue in this election. You could win or lose on it. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did do repatriations out there at sea, but I'm not sure how they're going to do it, because the airports are shut and the ports are controlled by gangs. So I don't know how they're going to repatriate. They're not explaining, if they do repatriate, how they're going to repatriate.
They'd have to send the military there to take on the gangs.
I think you're right. I think they would have to. You can't just walk in there. I mean, you're going to get machine gunned if you try to fly a plane in there, or if you bring a ship in there or something like that.
Could you imagine the administration doing that, though?
Not really. So it remains to be seen. All of this is very interesting to watch. I think the first boats should, if they get through the Bahamas, you know, the Bahamian Navy is interdicting some of these sailing vessels and bringing them ashore. But the more sailing vessels filled with, overloaded with Haitians that start to go through, I mean, quite a few of them are going to be able to get through, and the Bahamian Navy's going to let some of them through, because nobody wants to have thousands and thousands of Haitians on your little island where you have to take care of everybody, right?
Yeah.
So it's be easier for them to just say, oops, sorry, we missed those 10 boats, you know, we missed all those boats heading to the U.S.
You wrote about in your book, Overrun, which is about the immigration situation, that the principle is when people in Haiti see how the first migrants, how successful they are in getting into the country, that's going to determine how big a rush we're going to get. If the early travelers get into America safely, then we are going to get overrun.
Yeah, you can trust that all of Haiti is watching these first boats, what happens to them, that there's probably a fleet of other vessels that are preparing themselves for similar voyages, depending on what happens to these first, I call them trailblazers. So it's very important what the administration, how they handle these first boats. If they interdict them, if they shut them down, if they shut the whole thing down, if they end up actually repatriating them and just throwing them onto the beaches or whatever, that's going to matter greatly. But if they, you know, I had one source, I put this in the piece, it's a one uncorroborated source saying that the Coast Guard is under orders to not interdict them, but to follow them into the Florida shoreline and just make sure nobody drowns or capsizes or something.
And then what?
And then let them in. Let them into the U.S.
And if they get here, then half of Haiti's going to try.
Well, let me just put it this way. There are 11 million people in Haiti, you know. So, that's a lot of people. If you want to empty out, if you want to do a population transfer of that half of the island over there, then, that's going to change America. I don't think we're going to do that. But, we've seen these Haitian boat migrations in the past. You know, in the 90s, there were a couple of them. George H. Bush interdicted them. He used the Navy and interdicted them and put them ashore at Guantanamo Bay at our military base there until things calmed down, then put them all back on Haiti. So, you know, maybe something like that is in the offing. Lots of interesting things could happen here. Maybe nothing will happen at all, that the Bahama Navy will kind of get everything under control there. We'll pay them off. Who knows?
All right. Well, Todd, thanks for coming on and explaining this. And we'll watch. Maybe we'll talk with you again real soon. See what happens.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
All right. Todd Bensman from the Center for Immigration Studies. We got more coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Another snapshot of what goes on behind the scenes. If you go to John Cobalt Radio on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Deborah barged in without warning and tried to sell me on some colorful reusable bags for the grocery store.
It didn't go well.
And they're not to my taste, and she wouldn't take no for an answer.
What would be to your taste?
A plastic bag that never decays. That sits in a landfill for 2,000 years and never degrades.
You are a poor sport. I'm going to say that. Somebody offers you a gift and you decline?
Yeah.
Not cool.
Two gifts. Anyway, if you... And she dances, too. I'm just looking at this again. So she has two colorful bags. She dances and no sale.
I look like a ding-dong. I'm not going to lie.
So you want to see it, it's on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Because that's... We put our best and brightest brains... to create these
entertainment
channels, yes.
During the commercial breaks.
I didn't know you were coming.
I know. That's the best part.
Yeah, that was the whole point.
I know.
Exactly.
I got
Cause you off guard.
I would have locked the door otherwise. All right, so go watch that. It's funny. We got in 3:30 news. Are we going to have that news update?
Yes, we are. It's my top story.
On the Santa Monica girl who got whacked by the psychotic guy.
Yep.
And we got a reporter on the scene because they claim they have him. So we'll see what the details are about. National Review did a story on something that you think every media outlet would do, but nobody did. Did you know that there was a hearing this week, the California Senate, the Transportation Committee, on the newest high-speed rail business plan? We are now in year 16 since people stupidly passed the high-speed rail initiative so we could borrow billions of dollars. And now in year 16, they have spent almost $10 billion, and there's not 1 foot, not 1 inch of track laid down yet. Not one. CNBC made that claim. That's not just me. They say the project has spent almost $10 billion 15 years later, not a single mile of track, and executives say there's not enough money to finish the project. So they went to Sacramento to beg for more money, and the CEO, boy, this guy has got a good racket running, huh? Brian Kelly. He said the program was all but broke because they need at least $35 billion just to build a rail between Merced and Bakersfield, and they only have $28 billion left in the bank because they've stolen some money out of the legislature. They got some federal money. They never got private money, which they claimed they would get. So they have costs now which significantly exceed what they have to spend. And even if they got the money, it could be 9 years before anybody would get a ride on this stupid thing. And even then, you'd only go from Merced to Bakersfield. Now, if they need $35 billion and we already spent $10, that's $45 billion. If you remember, and everybody's forgotten, in 2008, they promised that they would build the whole train system from Sacramento to San Francisco to Los Angeles to Anaheim to San Diego, the whole thing for $33 billion. Now they claim it's Merced to Bakersfield for $35 billion. They think they'd need $100 billion to finish what was promised to the voters 16 years ago. Their total cost, they claim, is going to be $128 billion. It went from $33 billion to $128 billion. And as they write in the National Review, the more money that's appropriated, the more money it needs. In fact, this business plan says that the price has gone up 22% from the last business plan. Now, 128 over 33, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, it's almost four times as much. And you know that's a fake number anyway, because they always downplay the numbers. Why don't they stop? They have wasted $10 billion. It's gone in the pockets of these bureaucrats and the unions who pushed for this. A lot of union members have gotten paid building nothing. And then it goes to various lawyers and consultants and engineering firms and, you know, all these organizations that spend a lot of money bribing public officials in Sacramento. We come back. Well, we'll see what this report has.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the
podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
So glad everyone's enjoying me. Deborah's break into the studio with those reusable bags.
You need to put a padlock on that door.
There is going to be a padlock and a security guard. Anyway, you can go see it at Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, John Cobalt Radio. And I got ambushed by Deborah, and it was recorded trying to sell me on these really cute, colorful, reusable
bags.
They
are very, very cute. I thought maybe you would take me up on it.
Not going to go out in public with that.
Fun was had by all, I thought.
Yeah, we had a good time. So go watch that. In Calabasas, second story in the last couple of weeks. Remember in Beverly Hills, the boys were passing around doctored nude photos of the girls? Because what they're doing is there's a new app where you can take a girl's photo and undress her. And you get a naked body that's similar to the girl's real body. Or they're taking the girl's head and attaching it to another nude body that they have found online from one of the porn sites. Anyway, there's a 16-year-old girl in Calabasas now getting tortured. Because somebody that she used to know is spreading these doctored images. Here's a KTLA Channel 5 report.
I didn't want to go to school, didn't want to leave my room. I was scared. I was embarrassed. More importantly, I was humiliated.
A 16-year-old sophomore at Calabasas High School shares her humiliation after a former friend, also a minor, allegedly sent images around that she says were manipulated to show her in nude, compromising, even pornographic positions.
To my understanding, she manipulated my face onto another image taken from Pornhub of a girl who had, you know, who could have a similar body type to mine.
Jacqueline Smith is the girl's mother. She says the photos were sent via Snapchat and AirDrop and spread like wildfire. Her daughter says she and the other student got in a fight over a boy and a concert, then chose to share images as revenge.
We have now moved on to the case being handed to the DA. And so our court date is April 9th. Possession and distribution of child pornography.
Smith says she wants the district to take action. District Superintendent Dr. Dan Stepanoski sent us this statement during our interview with Smith. Quote, "We take our students' safety very seriously, and we're in the middle of investigating claims from both students and parents against each other. We have also shared all the information we have with Lost Hills Sheriff's Office, but they don't seem to be pressing any charges at this point and don't believe any images were altered."
If that information is inaccurate because it is no longer being handled by Lost Hills, this is handled by LA County and the juvenile system, which is in Sylmar.
KTLA legal analyst Allison Treisel says, let this be a warning.
Although you may think that this is your very best friend and that you take these photos either consensually or you're horse playing and you're having a really good time and you think it's funny, if that friendship goes south and for whatever reason they post those pictures of you, it can have very long-lasting harmful effects on your reputation and your high school experience. And so I really want parents to have that discussion with their students. Please do not fall prey or be the victim or be the person that's disseminating those photos, because it really can have not just severe legal consequences, but it can be damaging for the rest of your life.
KTLA cannot independently verify the charges because the case involves two minors.
It's interesting that the Lost Hills Sheriff's Office, they don't think the images were altered. They don't think it was doctored, which implies that these are real nude pictures of the girl. Yeah, you can't let anybody ever take nude photos of you. I don't know why that isn't obvious. I mean, it just stuns me that I don't care what everybody else is doing. Nude photos of you, that is not going to end well one way or the other. And don't trust anybody in high school. Teenagers' brains are crazy. They don't have good impulse control. You let your nude photos of yourself out there. I don't know. Allison Treasel is right. It doesn't matter if it's your best friend. Best friends turn on you fast. And just, or, I mean, you know, the mother and the daughter are saying, no, these are manipulated photos. So who knows? Well, you know what? There's zero way to stop this because the apps are out there now. You put them on Snapchat and the whole idea of Snapchat is they disintegrate. They disappear. How long does it they last on Snapchat?
24 hours.
24 hours? Oh, I thought it was an instant thing. I thought it was like 10 seconds.
Well, it depends. If you send a Snapchat to someone directly, yes, that goes away pretty instantly. There's a certain timer of how long
right.
you click it. Like you click open the picture, there's a timer of how long someone can view that picture if you send it to someone directly. But if you post, like, let's say to your story on Snapchat or like your story on Instagram, that stays up for 24 hours.
Well, Aaron in the newsroom just said that you can take a picture of it.
Yeah, right? you can take a screenshot of it and then it lives forever.
Right.
Yeah, so this is all bad. And AirDrop, you can't really trace that.
Well, AirDrop's just iPhone to iPhone
right,
sending
yeah.
a camera a right. picture.
But it's not like posting it on Instagram.
No, that's just putting it directly into someone's camera right. roll.
So it's easy to get away with doing this, and it'd be difficult to catch you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, this is crazy because I went to Calabasas High School. So this when I saw the story when you emailed it, I was like, whoa, this is pretty heavy.
Were there a lot of nude photos going around back then? Because that would have been, about 12, 13 years ago.
Guys are.
Guys are guys.
Yeah, guys are guys. But they weren't AI generated.
Yeah. Were they trading photos, though? Of girls?
Oh, yeah.
Do girls not understand this or they just don't care?
I think it's both.
Hell yeah.
They get told one thing by a guy they like when they're that age. They take it as law, basically.
Guys always lie, and guys are all predators. They can never be trusted.
Okay, so anything that you say to any of us, it's a lie?
Oh, I'm sure I've lied, yeah.
Really?
Hmm?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Guys can't be trusted in the context of wooing women.
I'm not even talking about wooing women.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, that's the context we're talking about here.
But I just thought I
was just playing with you there. Yeah, in the context of trying to get a girl to take off her pants you can take nude photos.
Okay.
Do not believe any of the promises.
Okay. So you don't always lie about everything, just that.
In some cases, mm-hmm. it depends. Depends how stimulated you are on any given day. You know that. You sit there go, no, they'd really do that? Did boys lie to me? More coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Another news story about Boeing. We told you before that there was a plane yesterday that had an emergency landing at LAX. It was a 777. And it was coming from Texas, and apparently it had either a blown wheel or a low-pressure wheel, and they decided to do the emergency landing here. And then there was a story that online people are finally saying, if it's Boeing, I'm not going. Now, I don't know how widespread that is, or it was just a catchy line from one poster. But New York Post has something that's truly interesting. John Barnett is the whistleblower who is in the middle of lawsuits with Boeing for telling the truth on the lack of quality control on the production line. And he was found dead in his vehicle on Saturday. He was filing a retaliation lawsuit against Boeing, and he had depositions. And he had done some depositions last week, and he'd had another round on Saturday, and his lawyer was waiting for him. Barnett never showed up. And so the lawyers went to the hotel, and they found Barnett in his vehicle, a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He killed himself. Now, according to a New York Post exclusive, his friends are saying Barnett did not seem depressed at dinner at all the night before he was found dead in his car. Lawyers, family, friends, and witnesses all say that Barnett was upbeat about finishing off his testimony against Boeing. This was happening in Charleston, South Carolina. And because it is kind of suspicious in the midst of all this Boeing bad news, and suddenly he was getting highlighted again. Program stations were replaying his interviews from the last few years, where he had given warnings that the Boeing production line was a mess. And an employee works at the Holiday Inn, where Barnett was found dead, told the Post that Barnett had a quesadilla, drank a Coke, scrolled on his phone, and seemed fine. I didn't think of him at all until I heard the news the next day. He didn't seem upset at all. He was going to give a third day of testimony in the lawsuit. The lawyers called the hotel, asked them to check on Barnett because he didn't answer his phone. And then they discovered his body slumped over in his orange pickup truck with a silver gun still in his hand. Now, the Charleston County coroner said the death was self-inflicted, but said more tests are being done before there's a final determination. And they're actively investigating. They have dusted his car inside and out for prints, which normally you wouldn't do in a suicide case. Family friend Bob Emery said he spoke to Barnett around 2 weeks before he died, said he seemed to be focused on what he was doing, didn't seem depressed. In fact, both Emery and Barnett had lost their wives recently, and Barnett was making calls to Emery all the time to check up on him and make sure he was okay. Checked up on me a lot. He said he had a good life going for him, even with the problems at Boeing. Barnett's new wife, Barnett's wife had died in 2022. So that's 2 years ago. It's unlikely that that would have caused the suicide over the weekend. But he told the truth. And Boeing tried to ruin his career. And then Barnett filed a retaliation lawsuit because it's against the law to ruin a whistleblower's career. Ends up dead in the car. And the first thing I thought of, I don't think so. That was just my conspiracy suspicion software that I had installed. Said, that doesn't seem right. And all his friends and people at the hotel said, no, he was fine. No sign that he was going to kill himself. Conway's here.
Hey, you know what you never hear is when a guy kills himself and all of his good friends and his family go, yeah, he was ready. He talked about it all the time. Yeah. I couldn't believe it lasted this long. Yeah. The only thing he talked about at a Ram game is how he's going to kill himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a cool guy to be around. A little down, a little downer sometimes. Because at weddings, he'd talk about killing himself and birthdays. And
never heard that.
Christmas. Oh, Christmas, he was great. Because we always thought he was going to hang himself at Christmas. They never did. And it was kind of a joke he did 1 year. You never hear that. You never hear guys go on and on about how, he's committed to it. Just never hear it. All right. Alex Stone is coming on with us. He's cool. He's with ABC. And he said schools should be banned from selling hot flaming Cheetos. That's the big problem.
Is that right?
On. Yeah, that's a big deal going on. And then Jim Takor, he's in charge of the San Juan Capistrano Swallows Parade. And for some reason, back in November, I said I'd do that. Now it's around the corner. So I regret that. Dean Sharp is coming on with us as well. So
if you really don't want to go, they can find someone else.
I think they do it. And look, I don't blame them. I would do the same thing. They do it to get mentioned on KFI.
Sure.
Right? And then when I show up, they're like, oh, you didn't really have to show up, buddy. And I always feel like I should show up. And then when I show up, they're not really enthusiastic about it.
You know, we did a parade once when we first got to L.A., and there was literally no one watching it.
Oh, that's great.
It was for a pretty major charity.
Okay.
Very well-known charity, and they held a parade, and it was in Marina Del Rey, and nobody showed up to watch. We were part of it. We weren't just the main draw or anything, but nobody.
I did the Huntington Beach parade, and the car broke down, and I said to the guy, I said, hey, you know, the car caught on fire at the beginning of the parade. And so it had to be towed, but they couldn't get around the marching band and the other floats and everything. So they towed it down the parade route with me behind it. And it just said Conway KFI and then, you know, Larry's towing on it. And I said to the guy there who runs the parade, I said, hey, has this ever happened before? A car ever break down like this? He goes, no, it's the first car it's ever broken down. But about 5 years ago, there was a float that broke down and they had to push it the whole way. Guess whose float that was?
Who?
Mine. I'm the only float and the only car that's ever broken down that parade.
It must be sabotage. That's great.
I love these parades. You were in that Pacific Palisades parade.
Yeah, we did that a lot.
Was that a big deal?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
It is. People showed up at that one.
A lot of big Trumpers out in that area?
Back then, nobody paid attention to that stuff. We just had a parade.
That's great, man. That's really great.
And we did the Glendale Christmas parade a lot.
Oh, that's a cool one.
You know, one of the councilmen got really mad at me.
Why is that?
Oh, it was over a tree story. He was some guy was being forced to cut down a tree
on
his property, and he felt bullied, and I went after the councilman, and the councilman held a grudge, and no more parade.
I did the Norco parade, and I get in the car. We're the first car.
Yeah.
So go down. It's a 3 mile, you know, waving to everybody. Hey, how you doing? Nobody has any idea who the hell I am. And we get to the end of the parade. I'm like, oh, that was great. And I turn around. There's nobody behind me. The second float broke down,
right.
And so I'd go 3 miles by myself. And everyone's like, who the hell is that? Man? It says Conway. It doesn't look like Dorf. What's going on with it?
It must be important. It's the only guy in the parade.
But it's this the 23rd. It's not this weekend. It's next weekend San Juan Capistrano.
All right. We'll come out.
Where the swallows come home.
Because it's really sad to be in a parade where nobody watches.
Ding dong. We'll get some people out there.
Sandy Wells in for Crozier next.
Sandy! Ding dong with you, Sandy.
Live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.